Open your Bible to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Hebrews, chapter 2. We count it a privilege to be here today in this church, and we love your pastor and respect your pastor and thank God for him. He and his wife have been great encouragement to us down through the years, and their daughter came to our Bible college, and I tried to hire her to come and spend a week in every semester to teach our young men how to shake hands like a man. Few men have the handshake that Laurie has. What a blessing, and what a great young lady. You found your place in Hebrews chapter 2. Out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able to stand, would you stand with me and follow me as I begin to read in verse number 1 of Hebrews chapter 2. How many of you drink coffee? I've got my hand up too. How many of you men get up every morning and you make the coffee? That's scriptural. In fact, God has directed an entire book named Hebrews. Follow me as I begin to read in verse number 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. And I want to speak to you this morning for a little while on one of the greatest questions in the Bible. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Father in heaven, help me today to be a blessing to these dear folks. Thank you for this church and what it stood for down through the years, and thank you that it's still standing for the same Bible, the same doctrine, the same God, the same salvation. Thank you for the pastor and his family who have been such a blessing and encouragement and dear friends down through the years. Now, Lord, I want to honor you this morning with the message, and I want to be a blessing and a help to these people who've come out to be in their place on this Sunday. Fill me with thy spirit. Speak through me as I preach. Help me to say those things that you would have me to say, and empower me to do so by the Spirit of God. Lord, if there be any one, two, three people here, or how many, that does not know you as Savior, let this be that day when they settle forever that heaven is their home and Jesus is their Savior. Lord, I find more and more in our Baptist churches are people living in uncertainty and doubt about whether or not they're really saved. And I pray if that be the case in someone's heart today, that you'd settle it forever for them. And then, oh God, if there be one Christian here that's contrary to your will, bring great conviction upon their heart and bring them back to you. Now, I thank you in advance for what you're going to do this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The book of Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians who were facing severe persecution and were being tempted to turn back to Judaism. And the writer of the book of Hebrews tells them that salvation through Jesus Christ is God's last word of hope to sinful and lost mankind. In the Gospel of John, a great number of disciples had left Jesus and returned to their old life. And Jesus asked the remaining disciples if they would also go away. Our churches today have seen and witnessed a lot of pews that are empty today because people who've gone away from church and away from God. And I join with the writer of Hebrews today and ask you this question. Will you also go away? Peter had some flaws. He was a good Baptist. But he came up with the right answer here. Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." If you're going to leave a Bible-believing church, and if you're going to leave Jesus, where are you going? The only one you're going to link up with is the devil if you leave God. And I find that when people leave a Bible-believing church, they always go to a weaker one. Will you also go away? You're a child of God. You've enjoyed this so great salvation. May God help us to be faithful and fervent in our faith and our belief. God forbid that the generations before us had a greater faith and a greater belief and a greater stand than we have today. Same God, same Jesus, same Bible. Paul states in the very first three verses of this chapter, he said, "God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past by the fathers and by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by Son." When we go to the Word of God, we don't have to just depend on what the prophet said. God's own Son came. And He said, "You must be born again. You must be born again." In the Gospels, God spoke from heaven and said in reference to Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye Him." In Hebrews 1, the writer paints a word picture of Jesus for us today. In verse 3, He is the brightness of God's glory. In verse 3, in all His character and attributes, He is the express image of God's own person. Verse number 3, He upholds all things by the word of His power. Again in verse 3, by Himself He purged our sins. Verse 6, He is worshipped by the angels. Verse 9, tells us that Jesus is God's anointed Christ. Under God's Old Testament plan, when He sent a message by angels, and that message was rejected, the rejecting people met the judgment of Almighty God. Now in these last days, God has provided salvation for sinful man through the death of His own Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. This is God's only provision for sinners' salvation. The writer begins the second chapter with the word, "therefore," meaning He is reminding us that we who have heard the message of salvation that's in Jesus Christ alone must give a more earnest heed. You see, he judged those who rejected the message of angels. How much more will he judge us if we reject the message of Christ? There is no greater insult to God than to reject his Son, who loved us and gave himself for us. Now let me first of all point out this morning some truths to the unsaved person that might be here today. Our text presents a question that cannot be answered. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I've never met a person. I'm 84 years old, been preaching 59 years. I've never met a person that says, I want to die and go to hell. But how are you going to escape hell if you neglect Jesus? If you reject him? Now, I'm amazed at the attitude of some. Well, I've never shook my fist in the face of Jesus and said, I reject you. You don't have to. Just don't trust him as Savior and you've rejected him. Hear the message and don't accept it. You've rejected him. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Without Jesus as our Savior, we're lost in our sin. Without Jesus as our Savior, we're condemned already, Jesus said. If you're here today and you're not saved, and you don't know that you're saved, you don't have to wait until you die and stand before God to find out. Jesus said, he that believeth, John 3:18, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because you haven't believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. The judge has already passed sentence if you've never been saved. Condemned already. Oh my. Condemned already. Go to bed at night. Tonight, put your head on the pillow and think about that. If you're unsaved, if you died before the morning, condemned already. Think about that as you drive on these highways where 8 million people in DFW metropolitan area owns at least 3 cars and are all on the same highway I'm on. Think about that. When you're about to wreck, how shall I escape? What am I going to do? How am I going to explain to the Lord? I heard the message, but I never trusted. I put it off. You know, the devil came up with an unbelievable plan. He tells you, don't say no to Jesus. Just say, I'm going to put it off till tomorrow. Hell's full of people that were going to get saved tomorrow but died today. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We must give a more earnest heed, the Bible says. You better get serious about this matter of your soul. There is nothing in your life of greater value or more important than settling the matter of your salvation once and for all. You are forever. People say, well, I'm going to live forever. I got news for you. Everybody's going to live forever. The question is, heaven or hell? It all depends on what you do personally about Jesus as your Savior. We're coming up to the month of August, and August is an important month to me. August the 23rd, 1954, a 15-year-old boy, 1 month in his 15th year, 14 years a rebel. realized on a Saturday night in an old-fashioned revival meeting at Hayden Baptist Church just outside of Myrtle Springs, Texas. Sitting on the back row, God got a hold of my heart, and I knew if I died, I was going to hell. And I walked down that aisle, accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior.
Amen.
Didn't understand theology, but I believe Jesus was God's Son, and He died for me, and He had salvation as a free gift. And nobody I knew needed it more than me. I walked down that aisle and that preacher said, "Why are you coming?" And I said, "I want to be saved." He said, "Do you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?" I said, "The best I know how, I'm accepting Him right now and depending on Him."
Amen.
And I bowed my head and asked Him to save me.
Yes.
And He did.
Amen.
He did. And I'm as saved today as I was back then.
Amen.
But I know more today than I knew back then. And I'm enjoying it more than I did back then. But it was so good that day, that night, to be able to go home and put my head on my pillow and know that if something happened, if I never woke up in this life, it was all right. Because Jesus was my Savior. Do you know? Do you know? You know, the only salvation God has provided is a no-so salvation. He tells us in 1 John, "These things have I written unto them that believe, that you may know you have eternal life." Don't settle for the devil's substitute of a hope so, maybe so, think so. You can know so, but only by trusting Jesus. We must give a more earnest heed because it's a free salvation. It's finished and complete. Jesus didn't make a down payment. We've got to keep up the installments. He paid it all. It's free and complete, finished. And thank God it's forever.
Amen.
Forever. And it's for anyone who wants to be saved by trusting Jesus as their Savior. Have you? You said, "Preacher, I don't remember the date. Does that mean I'm not saved?" It was a few years I didn't remember the date until I found the date in Mama's Bible. But I could not forget that experience.
Amen.
As a 15-year-old boy on his way to hell, walking down that aisle, accepting Jesus as Savior.
Amen.
Now I'm glad I know the date now.
Oh, yeah,
but I'm glad I can't forget that experience.
Amen.
And on the basis of that experience, not the date, I know that I know that I know.
Amen.
I'm saved. Do you? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Here's a question that holds eternal consequences for the individual who needs to be saved. How shall we escape? The word escape reminds us that there's something facing the lost sinner in eternity that he does not want to go through. The word escape reminds us that there's something I must do to avoid that judgment of God that's coming to the sinner. The Bible truth is that all who die without Jesus Christ as their Savior are condemned already to that place called hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire's never quenched. Think about it a moment. Some people would like for you to think hell is annihilation, where you burn up and never exist. I believe that just as God prepares us with a body prepared for heaven, when we're saved, gives us a new body, a glorified body, I believe God prepares the unsaved with a body for eternal damnation. Think about it. You know the rich man in Luke 16? He said, the Bible says, in hell he lift up his eyes. You know where he is today? Still in hell, still begging, still in torments, still suffering. It's forever. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You say, preacher, how does a sinner get born again? Well, Jesus explains it very simply in John chapter 3. Listen to the words of Jesus in verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Remember that story? What were they told to do? Look and live. Look at that brass serpent and believe that God would heal them of that serpent bite if they'd look and believe. Look and live. The liberal today calls that easy lookism. They also call salvation easy believism. But if it wasn't easy, you and I couldn't have it. No one else could either. Tell me, if Jesus didn't pay it all and give us salvation as a free gift, what do you have that could pay for it? To think that you could do works or good works or join a religion or give money is spitting in God's face. It's like someone giving you a 27 carat diamond and you reaching in your pocket and pulling out a dime's worth of change and giving it to him. It's mockery. He paid it all. We trust him and him alone. Or there's no such thing as salvation for that person. It's plus nothing, minus nothing. Jesus alone. Jesus alone. Notice in verse number 14. In chapter 3, he says, let me get back over there to chapter 3, verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. Now notice, he compares the story of Moses lifting up the serpent and they were told to look and live. Jesus said, now Jesus has been lifted up on the cross. We're to look at him and believe he died for our sins. Believe that he will save our soul if we trust him. Should not perish but have eternal life. And then Jesus said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. There it is again. Whosoever believeth in him. That word believeth does not mean just a head knowledge. It means to believe to the point you put your dependence upon him. You literally trust him to save you. Now, it says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I'm so glad salvation is that simple for us. If it was more, none of us could have it. You see, here's what happens. When we believe, when we acknowledge that we're sinners, when we acknowledge that we're sinners, and we believe Jesus died for our sins to give us life everlasting, God performs a miracle by the work of the Holy Spirit called the new birth. The new birth literally means a birth from above. When you believe upon Jesus Christ as your Savior, God performs the act of salvation and the new birth in you. It's not something we can conjure up or earn or pray loud enough or long enough for. When we simply believe, that Jesus died for our sins and was raised again for our justification. We accept him as our Savior. We don't believe he just died for the world, but we make it personal. He died for me. God performs the new birth through the Holy Spirit. A birth from above called everlasting life, eternal life. God did it. Oh, my soul, thank God for a salvation so free, so finished, so forever, so for anyone who will accept him as Savior. This salvation we possess as Christians is so great that we must not neglect it, or we'll backslide and miss the will and purpose of God for our lives. Coming over here today in my little Toyota pickup, light came on, check engine. Time for oil change. Now I've got 79,000 miles on my 2009 Toyota Tacoma. I bought it new. It runs like a top. But you know what? I've had to give attention to keep up the maintenance. If I'd never changed the oil, it wouldn't be running now. It'd be in a wrecking yard somewhere. I've got to give attention to it. Keep up the maintenance. Preventative maintenance. And you know our salvation, if it's going to provide all of the assurance and the sweetness and the joy and the blessings that God intends, we've got to keep up the maintenance. Doesn't mean we can lose it. It does mean that we can get to the place where this old flesh is stronger. We backslide and lose the joy and the peace and the purpose of God in our life. You say, how, what's the maintenance? What is that? How about prayer time? Did you ever stop to think that God designed prayer because he wants to spend time with you? The only people he'll hear the prayer from are Christians. He designed it for us. The only prayer of an unsaved person God hears, the Bible tells us, is the sinner's prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He designed prayer for me and you who are saved. He wants to spend time with us. He cares about your needs and your heartaches. And part of that need is the maintenance of our Christian life. Prayer time. I read one day where the average Christian spends four minutes a day in prayer. Now, what does that encompass? Breakfast prayer, dinner prayer, supper prayer. The average Christian uses our prayer life as a 911 number, just in cases of emergency. Help God! God intended prayer to be more than that. In fact, he says, pray about everything. Pray without ceasing. How in the world can we do that? Get up in the morning before you put your feet on the floor. Dial his number. You don't get a hold of him on the telephone. Pray. Thank him for a night's rest and ask for his guidance throughout the day. Spend a little time before you put your feet on the floor with him and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and guide you. And then don't hang up. Hey, I don't know about you, but driving on these freeways in this area, you don't have time to get in touch with him. You need to be in touch with him. And just cry out in that continued prayer, Lord, help. Lord, thank you for protecting me from that nut from California. Amen. How do we neglect this salvation? We neglect it through our prayer life. He wants to keep in touch with us. Pray without ceasing. Pray about everything and everything with prayer and thanksgiving. How about spending time with your Bible? It's a love letter from God to you. It tells us who we are, what we need, and where we're going, what we ought to do, and how to live. Tells us how to build a home, raise children, build a marriage, how to please God. It lets us know what God hates. And by the way, don't you listen to these liberals today that if you use the word hate about anything, they call you some weird name. God, there's some things God hates. Do you know what God hates? It's right there in the Bible. And then not only did it tells us that God hates some things, it tells us there's some things that are an abomination to God. And the word abomination means extreme hatred. There's some things that God hates with an extreme hatred. Boy, no Christian. A Christian has no business dabbling in those things God hates, and that's an abomination to God. It's a good Bible study. Go through there and find out what God hates and what's an abomination to God. Stay away from it. We're talking about maintaining our salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? This thing we call salvation is something that money cannot buy, man cannot make or perform. It's a gift from God. He wants us to not neglect it. Keep it sweet. Keep it right. Worship. Being together in God's house and hearing the Bible preached and singing praises to Him, that's worship. Giving is worship. I promised God if He'd help me, I'd not only give my tithe and offering and missions, but I'd put something in the offering plate every time it passes just because I want God to know I'm on His side. It's worship. Worship. It's important to be in church because somebody needs encouragement. So don't come to the church looking like you've got the mully grubs. Make sure you're on the top side of life so you can be a ray of sunshine, of blessings. I told in Sunday school, as we get older, we either get sweeter or we get meaner. And as we get older, we have needs. And one of that needs is to have the realization that people still love us and we're accepted. Be a blessing to somebody. Maintain. Don't neglect that salvation. Not only are we to maintain it, we have a responsibility for the distribution of it. Five different times God tells us in His Word to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He tells the Great Commission five different ways, five different times. That's the mandate for the church. That's your number one work and my number one work as Christians, getting the gospel out. We do it by going, by witnessing, by being a soul winner, by giving out tracts, by giving our money to send missionaries to the foreign fields. And you listen to me, too many Christians are finding it easier to give money than being a witness. We're to do both. Both. Well, let me finish this. You've been a blessing to me this morning. Thank you. Have you been saved?
Yes, sir.
Have you accepted God's only provision for your salvation? If you've not been saved, then please tell me how you plan to get saved, how you plan to get to heaven. I had one guy say, well, listen, me and God has it worked out. No, God doesn't have a special plan just for you. He has one plan, and that's Jesus. You go ahead and believe that nonsense, and you'll die and go to hell. Jesus is the way of salvation. And whether you're young or old, you need Jesus. I witnessed to a man. I was preaching up in Plainview, Texas, and the preacher said, I want you to go make a visit with me. Evidently, he had a man he took every missionary and every preacher to witness to. Unsaved. He's 90 years old. Man, I did everything I could to lead that man to Christ. He said, well, I just believe I'm going to wait a little while. 90 years old. I said, wait a little while. You're 90 years old. You've got one foot in the grave and the other one on a banana peeling. You're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. And he got saved. What are you waiting for? Why are you putting off Jesus Christ? If you've never been saved, then you please tell me what your plan is. And I'll tell you, it's heresy. Because God only has one plan. And that's through Jesus, his son, who loved us while we were yet sinners and died for us. Have you accepted him as Savior? The only way you can know that you know that you know heaven's your home is to accept God's way of salvation. And that's Jesus Christ and him alone. Certainly you're not planning to go to hell. You're not going to trust Jesus. And tell me what you're going to do. There's no second chances after you die or after Jesus comes. It's now in this life or never. Notice that you don't have to reject the Savior by shaking your hand or fist in his face and say, I reject you. All you have to do is just not accept him. Just put it off. And you're rejecting him. And hell is just as hot. And just as long. And just as horrible. For those who want to be saved but put it off. As it is for those who say no to the Savior. I asked you once again. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Notice that word. We. You can't go to heaven because your mama got saved. Somebody can't do it for you. It's got to be personal. Have you? If you have you been neglecting the salvation God's provided for you? You've not been doing the maintenance on it? You're not up to date in your Bible reading, your prayer life, your giving, your faithfulness to church. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You don't lose your salvation as a Christian if you neglect it. You just backslide. You're a child of God that's gone backwards. Back to the old life, back to the old world. And you're miserable. Because there's something different. There is the Holy Spirit who lives within every Christian. And it's his job to make you know that you've sinned. You didn't have to have the preacher tell you. The Holy Spirit's already told you. And there's no peace. There's no joy when a Christian neglects their salvation. They don't keep it up. And they backslide. You know it. God knows it. The devil knows it. And others around you will soon know it. Because when you backslide, it does not stay inside. It begins to show up outside also. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Father, that's our message this morning.